When we think of October in our part of the world, we almost immediately think of the idea of harvest time. When we think of harvest time, we almost immediately think of this time of the year. If you noticed on the front page of the Jackson Sun today, there was a colored picture associated with an article about the harvesting of the crops in this area. An article that suggested some concerns about the amount of harvest this year because of the dry weather, but nevertheless emphasizing to us that it is harvest time in our area. It was about 5 or 6 months ago in an elders' meeting, one of the meetings in which our elders meet every Sunday afternoon at 4:30, that one of the elders suggested that we designate the month of October as harvest time in our work here at Henderson. Plans have been made and ideas suggested and discussions had since that time, looking until this time tonight when we, in a sense, launch our program into the month of October with the theme of harvest time. Sometime after that initial suggestion was made, it was realized that the student lectureship would take place in the month of October. And the comment was made by one of the elders that this would fit right in with the idea of harvest time. And by the way, I believe the student lectureship is going to be one of the finest things that's happened. And I'm personally appreciative of the students and others who have been involved in laying the groundwork for this. It will come in October, October the 14th through the 17th. The initial lesson that will be delivered in that student lectureship on Sunday night, the 14th of October, here in this auditorium by Barry Fortner, will be on the subject of growing as Christians. He and I have already talked about some of the things that are involved in that lesson, and it's going to fit right in with this theme of harvest time. And then the Monday and Tuesday night that will follow, there will be a lecture in this auditorium at 7 o'clock, and then one on Wednesday night at 6. And there will be lectures on the campus in connection with the student lectureship at chapel times, and also classes that will be for young men and also some for young ladies during the daytime of that October the 14th through the 17th. But when we learned about that, we were convinced that that fits right into the theme of harvest time. Then a few weeks after that, or maybe a few months after that, we learned that Brother F.H. Gates would be coming back in October. In fact, the Gates are to be in Memphis, to be picked up in Memphis, and then come to Henderson on October the 9th, Tuesday, October the 9th. Plans are being made for him to show slides of the work here in the auditorium at the 7 o'clock service on Wednesday night, October the 10th. And for him to speak at both Sunday morning services, 8 and 10, on October the 14th. He'll be speaking in the morning on the day that the student lectureship will begin that night. And as we considered this, again, we were convinced that this just fits right in with this idea of harvest time, because what have we been trying to do, and what are we trying to do with our missionaries? What's Brother Gates going to be talking to us about when he tells us about the work in Belo Horizonte? He's going to be talking about sowing the seed and reaping souls for Jesus Christ. When we were making plans, we decided that we wanted to bring someone in the last Sunday of October to really emphasize the idea of reaping souls. Brother Danny Cottrell, who was here for a gospel meeting back a few years ago, I'm not for sure exactly how many, but in the recent past at least, and who was appreciated and respected for his teaching and for his work, agreed to come and speak for us at all the services on October the 28th. And so everything has just fit together so that we believe that we're going to have a great month in the month of October. Because of the fact that I will be in Cleveland, Tennessee next Sunday in a meeting that's been planned for several years. Brother Alan Hires has been asked by our elders to preach both times next Sunday, or all services, both morning and evening. And he will be beginning this month of October with emphasis on laying the right groundwork and getting the ground ready and sowing the right kind of seed. We've just got together, we believe, a great month for the month of October. We've already experienced harvest time during 1990. We've already seen, I believe, 21 or 22 people baptized into Christ during this year. We've seen new members come in. We've seen some who've been restored and rededicated their lives as they've come back and once again become more involved in the Lord's work. And we have been experiencing harvest time. But we believe that the emphasis needs to be made during the month of October. Let me share with you three passages of Scripture as we think about this theme of harvest time. The first is in Matthew 9. You might like to turn to these three passages as we read them tonight, because right in the text of God's Word, we find the basic concepts that we want to emphasize in this harvest time. Matthew 9, the last two verses of the chapter. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into the harvest. Then in Mark chapter 4, Mark chapter 4, beginning at verse 26. Mark 4, 26, and he said, So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground, and should sleep, and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up, he knoweth not how. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of it of herself, first the blade, then the ear, after that the full corn in the ear. But when the fruit is brought forth, immediately he putteth in the sickle, because the harvest is come. And then over in John, the fourth chapter, particularly looking at verse 35 of John chapter 4, Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Notice three statements that are made in these three passages of Scripture. In Matthew 9, he said, The harvest is plenteous. By the description that's given there concerning the need for the reapers to go out into the harvest, the idea is that there is much grain out there to be brought in at harvest time. The harvest is plenteous. In Mark's account that we read, he said, The harvest is come. It's here. We need to do something about it. And then in John's account, he says that the field is white unto harvest. And we've quoted that and talked about that so many times as we've talked about harvest time. It is white unto harvest. Some fields in the world today are not white unto harvest. They're not ready for harvest. They're ready for the planting. In many of the areas where we send our missionaries, in those areas for which we pray almost at every service, there has not been a lot of planting of the seed in the past, and though we are seeing some harvest, and in some instances plenteous in that particular place, there is so much need for sowing. But in our area particularly, I believe it can be said tonight that the harvest is plenteous, that the harvest is come, and that the fields are white unto harvest. Now, those three statements imply several things. The idea of there being a time of harvest and our being ready for a time of harvest necessarily presupposes or implies to us several different ideas. Number one, it implies that there has been and continues to be the right planting of the right seed. You leave the seed in the barn, the harvest will not come up. If we close our Bibles and place them on the shelves in this building and in our homes, and do not get that message out to the people, there will not be a harvest. There cannot be a harvest unless there is the sowing of the seed. Luke 8 verse 11 specifically identifies the seed that we're talking about. In that parable of the sower given in Luke 8 and Matthew 13, which compares the kingdom to the sowing of the seed in a comparison that is inspired, not just one that we've dreamed up, he says, folks, that the seed is the Word of God. Now, we are implying tonight that there has to be the proper planting of the seed. If we go out and plant something other than the Word of God, we will harvest something other than New Testament Christians. I believe that one of the reasons that we're seeing harvest in our work, and will continue to see harvest, is not just because of the seed that you and I have planted in the immediate past, but the seed that has been planted over a period of time. Sometimes when I stand in this pulpit before this congregation, I have a feeling of awe and fear, and yet at the same time, a feeling of appreciation, as I'm reminded of the giants in the brotherhood, and I think I'm using that word in a true sense, the giants in the brotherhood who down through the years have stood before this congregation in this building and in previous meeting places in Henderson, Tennessee, and have presented a respect for the Word of God and have taught that word over and over and over again. We are reaping today, and we shall be reaping in the month of October and in the months that are ahead, if God permits us to live, because the right seed has been sown and continues to be sown. And we cannot take that for granted. If there has ever been a time that we need to have the very best of seed and to sow that seed in the very best of ways, it's in the time that you and I are living. The seed is the Word of God. This implies that the seed must be planted, the right seed must be planted, and it must be planted over a period of time. Sometimes going back and planting that same field again, I can remember having to do that on the farm. Although good seed was planted, for some reason it did not come up, and we had to go back and replant or reset, put that seed out again, and you and I are somewhat in the process of that today. This also implies that there must be a widespread scattering of the seed. When you study the parable of the sower, once again found in Matthew 13 and Luke 8, there are so many lessons to glean from it. You may not have really thought of this lesson very much, but had you ever thought about the fact that seed was sown in a widespread manner? Some of it fell among the thorns. Some of it fell in the rocky places. Some of it fell in the shallow ground. Some of it fell in good ground. But do you notice when you look at that, that there's something said there that as this sower went out to sow, he scattered that seed over all these different areas. Sometimes, and many of you will remember this as you're in your association with farm life, if a new ground is prepared, the comment might be made, well, we're not for sure if the seed's going to come up and grow well in this soil, but we're going to try it. We're going to put the best seed out there, and we're going to fertilize it if needed and cultivate it. We don't know exactly what the results will be, and sometimes a person would even sow more seed in a wider area to be sure that he had covered the area. I never will forget when we were planting corn, my dad always wanted to put at least 3 times as many kernels there as would be needed when it grew up. I think now part of it was so that I'd have to take the time to pull 2 of them up a little bit later on. But the idea was to be sure to plant enough seed so that the seed will come up. And this is something that's implied in this idea of harvest time. We must scatter the seed out in the community, on the campus, in this building, amongst ourselves, everywhere. Who knows where that next plant is going to come up? I've been surprised sometimes, and perhaps you have too, to see the response of someone that I thought would not respond to the gospel of our Lord and Savior. And yet when the seed was put out there, there was response and there was harvest time. So this implies that there must be a widespread scattering of the seed, which is identified as the Word of God. harvest time also implies that there must be watering and cultivating along with the planting. You remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 3:6? I planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. And there were times even when Paul would go back and water in the same place where he had planted. They'd been on the first missionary journey. Not long after that, they began to talk about, let's go back. Let's go back and see how things are going. And maybe implied in that is the idea, let's go back and water what we have planted and help them to grow and to come to harvest time as they should. There must be the proper planting, and then there must be the proper watering. And sometimes, as indicated in these passages that we have noticed tonight, one person may do the planting and another person may do the watering. And sometimes one person may be harvesting that which has been planted by somebody else. But there is the total aspect of all of it, the planting and the watering and the cultivating, so that there can be the harvest time. And then harvest time also indicates and presupposes another very, very important idea. And that is that there will be a sufficient number of reapers and that the reapers will go out into the field. Isn't it a shame to plant good seed and see that crop grow out there in the field and have good weather and just a beautiful crop and then just let it, as we sometimes say, go to seed and fall down out in the field without it being harvested? I've passed by cornfields in the dead of the winter and sometimes even the next spring and see corn stalks with two or three ears that long on them that have just fallen down in the field because nobody went into that field to harvest that corn and to take it out and put it in the barn where it needed to be. Harvest time suggests the idea of reapers. Did you not notice that as we read these passages? In John 4:35, he says, lift up your eyes and look on the field. In other words, consider where the harvest needs to take place. Matthew 9:38, he said, send forth laborers into the harvest. And in Mark's account there in the 4th chapter in verse 29, he says, put the sickle to it immediately. It's ready to harvest, so go out there with that sickle. The old time harvesting was with the hand sickle. Go out and put that sickle to the grave now, to the grain now, and bring that grain in because it's harvest time. The idea is the immediate response when there is the readiness of the grain. The harvest is plenteous, send forth reapers. The harvest is come, put the sickle to it. The field is wide unto harvest, get out there and do something about it. And you and I need to have the attitude that is expressed in Isaiah 6, which, by the way, is the part of the Bible that we're reading and are reading through, where Isaiah simply said, here am I, Lord, send me. The harvest is plenteous. The harvest is come. The fields are white unto harvest. We need to send forth reapers into the harvest. One of the dangers that's associated with our work from the standpoint of harvest time is putting it off. He says there in Mark, some of you say, well, in 4 months, the harvest time will come. He says, get out there with the sickle right now. We have a tendency sometimes, even when we're thinking about those whom we love, those who are our friends, those who have indicated some interest in being a part of the harvest of souls for Jesus Christ, we sometimes have a tendency to say somewhat like these, well, 4 months from now, or 2 months from now, or next week, or sometime in the future, I'm going to get around to it. I'm going to get involved in it. And I'm going to do something about this harvest time. But he says, don't say 4 months from now. Don't say in January of 1991 or February of 1991. He says, now is when the harvest time really is. And we may very well be involved sometimes in the danger of putting off and saying that we will get to it at a later date. God's Word not only emphasizes harvest time in the sense that we have discussed tonight, but it talks about harvest time relative to the final judgment. The parable of the tares, found also in Matthew 13, indicates that there's going to be a harvest time at the end of this world. There will be the good seed that will spring up as good plants, and there will be the tares that are sown by the devil that will spring up as tares. And that parable, whatever else it says, at least indicates to us that God's going to let good plants and bad plants grow along side by side during this lifetime. Meaning that you and I are going to be in the world, not of the world, but in the world, growing alongside by those who are not living righteous lives. But then he says there's going to come the harvest time. And the angels are going to go out and gather in those tares, and they'll be burned. And they're going to go out and gather in that good fruit, and it will receive its reward. This idea is built into the book of Revelation in chapter 14, verse 15, as he talks about the angel going out to harvest. Just two verses after he says, "Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord." There's going to be a final harvest time when this life is over. And in order to be prepared for that harvest time, we need to do a better job than we've ever done before in dealing with the present harvest, to bring in souls to Jesus Christ and to be ready for that final harvest that will take place. Sometimes we are a bit disappointed when we look about us and we see those who are living evil lives supposedly prospering in this world. And we look about us sometimes and see those who appear to be the finest Christians having difficult times. But we need to be reminded that all the harvest doesn't take place in October. That there's going to be a final harvest when God will reap in, when God will bring in and reward all those who have been planted and watered and cultivated and grown in His kingdom ready for that harvest time. And that's the harvest time that really matters. We have an immediate harvest time before us. I'd like to issue some specific challenges tonight. I'd like to issue a specific challenge to all the university students to seek out just one person who's not a Christian or who maybe is a wayward Christian and try your best to do something to help that person be a part of harvest time in October. I'd like to challenge even our younger folks in the congregation here to continue as they have shown by their lives in the last year or so, to bring other young people to Jesus Christ and to think about the young people who are not Christians. We don't have as many as in some cases, but you know, we still have a few who are in the older teenage years, who have heard the gospel preached for years and years, who are not Christians. I'd like to challenge our youth group to be thinking about those and praying about those and perhaps talking to those during the harvest time in October. And I wish to extend a challenge to all of us that are a bit older in this congregation here to reach out into this community, especially those of you who have been established here for years and years, who know the people. Could sit down tonight and make a list of several people who need to be harvested for Christ, either in bringing them to be baptized into Christ or bringing them back as wayward children. I challenge all of us to find just one person, just one, don't limit it to that, but at least one, and pray for that person and work with that person. You might even write that person's name on a little piece of paper and put it in your billfold or in your purse, or maybe tape it up on the mirror where you will see it every morning as you're getting ready for the activities of the day, or in some way that will help you to emphasize to you yourself that you want to be a reaper, that you want to be involved in this harvest time. The harvest is plenteous. The harvest is come. The fields are white unto harvest. The question is, will we plant the seed, will we water it, and will we go out to reap? With God's help, we just can't afford to do anything less. let's make October literally harvest time. And you know, it's always good to get a head start on any project. One of the best ways to make October the best month that we've had for harvest time is to get that kind of start even tonight. Let's don't wait even 4 or 5 hours. If you're not a Christian and you need to be baptized into Christ tonight, if you need to come back and in some way make your life right with Christ as a child of His, let's let our harvest time begin even tonight. Right now. Come as together we stand and sing.
Thickest fight, listening for His orders.